there was a lot of pain along the way, Kerry, but the trust and the relationship was there with my team.
Welcome to the Insurance Refocus podcast, where we're highlighting real agent stories and how they are innovating to respond to the changes and challenges happening in the independent insurance industry. My name's Lindsay, and I can't wait to introduce you to my amazing co-host who just so happens to be my mom, Kerry Wallace. Mom, how are you doing today?
It is going fantastic. I got to tell you, this is a big weekend for your dad and I. We are celebrating our 29th wedding anniversary this weekend.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I don't know.
Getting up there.
We are getting up there. I hope no one's actually doing the math on what that means my age is, but yeah, we are definitely getting up there. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. I am headed to Jacksonville this weekend. My boyfriend is running a 15K and was trying to convince me to do it with him. And I was like, absolutely not. Maybe with a little bit more colorful language in there when I actually said it. It's like, nope, I'll be on the beach.
That is funny. Well, we're planning on doing renting some wave runners this weekend and getting out on the water a little bit. But I will tell you that Dad suggested that I do a couch to 5K with him, and I'm contemplating maybe I could manage a 5K, but we'll see. I think his idea of fun and my idea of fun are slightly different these days.
Yeah. Well, you can walk a 5K. You can't really walk a 15K. That's 9 miles. Like, that's not fun to walk. A 5K might be fun to walk. 15K, no.
Well, I have got to tell you, I have been looking forward to the guest that we have on the podcast today. Him and I met in first class on Southwest, which is a pretty fun way to meet. But today we are talking to the one and only Ryan Reynolds of Grimes Insurance. Thank you so much, Ryan, for coming on and joining us.
Hey, thanks, Kerry and Lindsay, for having me. I'm excited about this.
I have to tell you, Ryan, this is kind of funny story. Last night, Lindsay's actually in Hilton Head with me, and last night we were talking, and my other daughter was kind of in the other room, not really paying attention to what we were doing, and I said, you know, we're going to talk to Ryan Reynolds tomorrow, and she shot into the room. She's like, you are what? What is happening? How are you talking to Ryan Reynolds? So I didn't correct her. I just let her think I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Reynolds, because I am, right?
That makes you so much cooler as a mom, knowing that you know Ryan Reynolds.
I am. It makes me very, very, very cool. So anyway, I'm hoping she listens to the podcast and understands that, you know, I should have corrected her, but I chose not to. So anyway.
It's funny. Every time I order a pizza or takeout food or book a hotel and you call, it's you get immediate attention when you say it's for Ryan Reynolds or reservations at a restaurant. And occasionally I'll go and pick up a pizza or check into a hotel, and you know, the 20-year-old girls that are fascinated by Ryan Reynolds, they're like, "Oh, can I take a selfie with you so I can tell everybody I met Ryan Reynolds?"
Oh, that is so funny.
It cracks me up.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love it. Well, I'm traveling with you. From now on, whenever we're traveling, I'm going to be like, you know what, Ryan, why don't you take care of the reservations just so we get the, I'm just joking, but yeah.
Well, and you know, we classed up, we sat in first class on Southwest Airlines, which is the bulkhead.
I know, man. Like, I get it. Listen, these other people do not have much on us. We managed first class for sure. So
that's right. That's right.
First, before we jump into it, I definitely want to say thank you so much. You were actually our first review of the Insurance Refocus podcast on Apple Podcasts. So thank you so much for your review. It means a lot to us.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys have done a great job. And I mentioned to your mom, I think I've listened to every episode except maybe one.
Yeah.
But I'll catch that one soon too.
Loyal listener, loyal reviewer. We love it. So Ryan, tell us a little bit about your path and how you came to be an agency owner?
Oh, good question. So for me, I've been in the insurance business since 2002. I was recruited out of college to State Farm Insurance. I worked in their claims department. I started while I was still a full-time college student. I worked full-time and went to school full-time. And I was in a customer service kind of admin role where I'd answer incoming calls to the claims department. And then just worked my way up through the organization. I knew pretty early on I wanted to be a State Farm agent at the time. I wanted to be, I felt like I was an entrepreneur and I wanted that experience and that opportunity. So I just continued over a course of probably 5 or 6 years to climb my way up to be able to be looked upon favorably by State Farm to be given an opportunity. Long story short, I moved a few times and then became a State Farm agent in Cleveland, Texas, which is a very rural backwoods kind of town north of Kingwood, Texas, or north of Houston. That makes sense. I was an agent there for a few years and had a fantastic team, and together we accomplished some pretty remarkable results. When you look at the grand spectrum, we were in the top 1% of all State Farm agents. At the time, there was about 18,000 agents, State Farm agents, and we were in a town of about 3,500 people. So we had a remarkable run. State Farm came to me and said, hey, would you come and help us teach other new agents how to do and achieve the level of success that you are? So I gave my agency back to them and then went on the management side of the business and then stayed with State Farm and continued to climb the ranks on the corporate side of the business. And then about probably 2015 or 16, I started to feel like I've really got away from who I am, and who I am is an entrepreneur and a business owner. So to try to kind of fuel some of that entrepreneurial spirit I had, I went and started, while I was still an employee of State Farm, went and started other businesses, started buying rental properties and apartment complexes to try to fuel that entrepreneurial spirit I had. And at the end of the day, it was, it just didn't fully scratch that itch that I had. So I decided I wanted to go back and be an agent again. And as I started to run the numbers, for those of you that don't know me, I'm an analytical person. I can nerd out on a spreadsheet for days. And so I spreadsheeted everything. And look, I love State Farm. State Farm was really, really good to me and my kids for almost 17 years. But I just couldn't make the math work. And so I decided I was going to go be an independent agent. I actually looked at Farmers to buy a Farmers agency and realized that's the same thing, just a different brand, mm-hmm. State Farm, and maybe a little bit better, but couldn't make that work mathematically either. And so I decided I want to be an independent insurance agent. And so what do entrepreneurial minded people do that want something? They pick up the phone and they cold call. So in my town is Lubbock, Texas. There's about 300,000 people here and gobs of independent insurance agents. Lindsay, I picked up the phone and I cold called every single independent insurance agent in Lubbock, asking them if they were willing to take on a partner or interested in selling their agency. And fast forward, I bought an independent agency that somebody was in a position where they needed to sell, and I was a buyer. So it's been baptism by fire for the last 4 years. So that's my story of how I became an agency owner.
Hey guys, if you're looking to improve your bottom line, allow your team to operate efficiently, and really improve that customer retention, I believe you should check out Ascend. Ascend is the all-in-one insurance payment solution. They are focused on streamlining your invoicing, premium financing, accounting, and they'll even make your carrier payables for you. They are taking agency bill and making it as easy as direct bill. That is a game changer. They integrate with all of the major AMS players, and here's the best part. It's free. There is no subscription, no cost to you. They allow your customers to pay how they want. If you are interested in improving your efficiency, go visit ascend.com/insurance-refocused and let them know that we sent you. So here's the thing, Ryan, you said so many things in there that I can relate to. Number one, I'm also an analytical person that spreadsheets absolutely everything, except for some weird like things that I did on a whim, which is completely out of character. But I would tell you, I also am very driven as an entrepreneurial spirit. And it's what I love about this industry is that people are willing to take risks. The people are willing to think outside the box. They're willing to be super connected to their community while being very entrepreneurial. So I think that it's the beauty of the industry that we're in. And if you're not scratching that itch, you find a way to do it. There's just no way around it. You can't deny it. My pathway has kind of similar situation where I started in a startup. I went to an established organization where I was able to be very entrepreneurial, but within a structure, and eventually, you know, found my way back to my roots, which is I'm going to build this thing on my own. And so I love hearing that story, but with that comes some challenges, right? Like it comes, you're drinking by fire right now. I would love to hear your journey to purchasing that agency. While M&A is, mergers and acquisitions is very prevalent. There's no two ways around that. We're in an industry where the average agency owner is approaching retirement age. There's a lot of transition happening, but honestly, the average agent may not know exactly what that experience is to buy an agency or to sell an agency. So one of the reasons I wanted to create this podcast and have these conversations with agents and have Lindsay also ask is I want to share experiences that other agents may or may not have so they can learn from each other. So would you share what that looked like for you after the cold calling?
Yeah. So Grimes Insurance Agency was, to be candid, it was one of my last phone calls because it had an incredible reputation in our community. Everyone knows it at the time was a very large primarily personal lines agency. So I was, to be honest, I was a little intimidated. That was, I needed some practice before I made that phone call. But when I made the phone call, Mariana Grimes, so Grimes has been here this October, 75 years in Lubbock.
Wow.
And Mariana Grimes was the majority owner at the time when I bought it. Her father had started this agency 75 years ago. And so when I called her, just had a conversation with her, she had indicated that she had a minority partner that needed to retire or wanted to retire for some medical reasons. And she kind of candidly, she kind of pushed me off a little bit because they were actually already in the talks or in conversation with some big heavy hitters that were making offers to them. But then I was persistent and continued to follow up with her and was granted a lunch meeting with both the partners, Mariana and then her minority partner. And they were very candid with me and said, look, we're in the process of selling, and here's where we're at. And you got to get to this number. And if you can get to this number, and I kind of did my sales pitch to them, which was, and this was what really, really resonated with them is because they knew these other carriers or these other, large conglomerates that were trying to purchase them. They were going to move everything to Dallas. They were going to basically disseminate the name of Grimes Insurance, maybe keep a couple of people here locally. But Mariana was concerned about her family's name, and she was concerned about her team. And at the time, I believe they had about 14 or 15 team members. Mm. So she's and their family. This is a family agency. Her son worked here. Her soon-to-be daughter-in-law worked here. Mm. And she wanted to take care of them. And so my presentation to them was about, look, I live here. I work here. I'm not going anywhere. At the time I was 40 years old, 39, 40 years old. I've got a long time to work. And I told her at that lunch meeting, the promise I'll make to you is you're going to come back. And her brother still lives here. Her brother's a prominent dentist in town. So she's got lots of family here, and the Grimes name is a pretty recognizable name in Lubbock, Texas. So I said, look, Mariana, you're going to come back in 10 years or whenever you want to come back. after I purchase this agency from you, and you're going to be proud of mm-hmm. what Grimes Insurance still means in this name or in this community, and what we've continued to do to build upon the legacy that you and your dad have built. And that resonated really well with her. And that's a promise that I have every intention of keeping. And that's kind of how a lot of my decisions are made. So basically the process, Carrie, was after that initial sit down lunch meeting, then I said, you know, I would love to be able to get to your number. Obviously, so at this point, all my perspective was, it was real estate. I'd built a pretty large real estate portfolio, and I was kind of looking at this like buying a really, really large apartment complex. So I was very attuned to what numbers I had to look at. And so I signed a letter of intent, and they signed it. And then I just started gathering data and information. I'd connected with a lender that I knew specialized in independent insurance agency acquisitions, and started working with them. And together, the lender and me were going through mounds and mounds of reports. And I wanted to know, you know, outside of just what their revenue was, I wanted to know where their revenue came from. I wanted to see a makeup of their clients. Did they have a couple of massive clients that have I lost them? Or they heard that the agency sold and they go away and then my revenue goes away and I default on my loan? Right. I wanted to know all that stuff. I wanted to know their retention. What carriers? Will the carriers allow me to purchase the agency and continue the appointment on as they had, you know, with Travelers and Progressive and all those carriers? I wanted to know who their largest carriers were. And then I wanted to know some of their processes, and I wanted to know their people. Tell me about your 15 employees. How long have they been with you? What do they do? What are they licensed in? What do they specialize in? You know, what motivates them? I wanted to know their team. And so all this was done hush, hush, under the table. I only met with them after hours, after their employees were gone. And so that process, Carrie, took, I think from my first conversation with them, sit down conversation, to when the loan actually funded, I think was about 4 months.
Wow. Yeah.
So I don't know on the spectrum if that was long or short, but that's about what it took.
Yeah.
And so the key pieces there were a really good relationship with a lender who had vetted me personally and knew what I brought to the table, because they were very interested in who are you and what's your background look like. Can you really handle this size of an agency? What's your leadership experience, your insurance experience? What do you bring to the table? And then obviously they and I were both very interested in the numbers.
Well, you said a couple things that are really important there. And first and foremost, you connected with the agency on what's most important to them. Not every buyer is right for every seller. And, you know, not every seller is interested in the highest price. You know, sellers mm-hmm. are interested in all kinds of things. And what I find in my role is most often it is taking care of their people first and foremost, taking care of their customers, and taking care of the reputation they've worked so hard to build. And the fact that you were able to connect on those levels is the game. I mean, the numbers work themselves out, because, you know, that's almost secondary to understanding and aligning yourself with someone who fits with your needs. And I cannot stress enough the fact that you worked with a lender that understands independent insurance agents, because, again, in my line of work, lots of people have relationships in their communities and they want to use those relationships. They want to go to a local bank, which I truly say, absolutely do that, but do not only do that. Go to a lender that understands independent insurance agents so you can make sure they can guide you and help you understand exactly what's important in these deals. The average lender lends against your balance sheet, and your balance sheet has nothing on it in an independent insurance agent. I shouldn't say that. It could have something on it, but that's not where the value of the agency is. It's your book of business. Yeah. So yeah. The average lender doesn't understand that, and they could underlend, unfortunately, and then make you not a viable buyer. So hats off to you. You asked me about how does that compare in the timing. you know, this is a pretty sizable agency. I would say the typical time frame is somewhere between 4 and 6 months if someone is prepared and knows what they're asking for and knows what to look at. You know, if they have a valuation to start with, that will actually get you a lot of the due diligence items that you were talking about. Definitely aligning with the lender that wants to make sure that this will cash flow and that you are set up for success. I have a couple banking friends that are very proud to say that during COVID, during the downturn of the economy, no loans for agencies defaulted because they did the right thing. I mean, they're very predictable organizations. So, you know, hats off to you. But I think you sharing that helps people understand what that process is and what to expect if you're actually thinking about an acquisition.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, my previous experiences, both as a senior level executive at State Farm, that was part of my responsibility as transitioning agents. So I understood the numbers, I understood the metrics, I understood at least from a State Farm perspective how that process happened. But then, you know, calling and building a relationship with a couple of different lenders was really impactful for me to kind of interview them to find out how they're going to rate me and my ability to take on so much debt and what they were interested in terms of the agency. And then ultimately selecting a lender that worked really, really well with me. And so it was great. And I'll tell you, Carrie, to your point, Mariana will tell you in that initial conversation, we had the sit down conversation, because I was viewing this as a sales job, right? You've got these massive conglomerates that you're talking to, and they have way more money than I do.
Sure, of course
so
they do. Yeah,
I looked at this as a sales, sure. Sales, the biggest sell of my life, right? And so I was asking questions like, probably the most important question I asked is, well, clearly you have some offers on the table from these large conglomerates that have a lot more money than I do. Why haven't you taken them?
Mm-hmm. Great question.
And the answer was just what I told you. We're concerned about our team. We're concerned about the Grimes reputation. And so, boom, there you go. That's my in. Well, I found the pain and tried to solve the pain, right?
And I love this because, you know, everybody thinks I can't compete with private equity or I can't compete. Even you were like, you know, Grimes wasn't top of my list. That was kind of like the holy grail.
Yeah.
But the reality is, once you understand what people are motivated by and that you're aligned, some of those are not viable options anyway. So I would encourage people to not underestimate knowing and valuing the same things makes you the right choice. And so, you know, you have to ask the question. Hats off to you for A, reaching out, and B, taking the time to understand that. So definitely paid off in spades for you, for sure.
Well, and to your point, Carrie, Mariana will still tell you today that she left a significant amount of money on the table by selling to me. And she'll tell you it's the best decision she's ever made because, just to your point, she valued her team and she valued her family's name and reputation. And I was able to come in and help her solve those dilemmas that she was struggling with. You know, do I sell and lose all these things and negatively impact my team potentially? Or do I take less money and hold to value what I really value? And to her credit, she stuck true to who she is and what she valued. So hats off to her.
Yeah. And you know, there's lots of people that think when internal transitions happen that people are leaving so much money on the table, and it's the number one reason why they do it, because their legacy and giving someone else the opportunity that this industry gave them is far more important than the actual dollar number. And to be quite honest with you, it's what I love about my job. You know, I work with all kinds of agents, and the minority are driven by what's that dollar amount. The majority are driven by people, relationships, legacy, reputation. And those are the kind of people I want to be around. You know, that is just, I love hearing that. And I want the people listening to this to know that still is very prevalent, whether it's an external sale, agency to agency, an internal, lots of people are motivated by that. So thank you.
Yeah.
So you shared that one of your areas for strength has been modernizing the agency, and also that building that trust of when you come back, it's going to be good, if not better than what it is now. Mm-hmm. How do you, like, what was your approach to the modernization that came with, you know, I don't want to fundamentally change Grimes, but I want to help make it better and make it flourish?
Yeah. So I think, Lindsay, the first thing that I did was I did absolutely nothing. For the first year, I made a commitment to myself, and let me tell you, it was hard. I made a commitment to myself for 1 year. I was not going to change anything. I wasn't going to let anybody go. Now, I was going to hire people if I needed to hire people, but I wasn't going to let anybody go. I wasn't going to change any processes. I wasn't going to change any systems. I mean, from my perspective, so when I bought the agency, it was $16 million in premium. How in the world do you build this gigantic of an agency? I felt like a student. Mm-hmm. I want to learn the ins and outs, because clearly you've done some things right for 70 years or 71 years mm-hmm. at that point. I just want to learn and observe. I don't have all the answers. I'm not an expert. I'm a very process and systems oriented person. So I just wanted to observe. And that's what I did for a year. I literally sat with every single employee. I learned exactly what they do, what buttons they poke, how they operate, who they were as people and individuals, and then what processes they followed. And I was making mental notes all along, but I was true to myself that I just needed to observe and learn, because I didn't want to go. I took on a ton of debt, more debt than I'd ever taken on before. And the last thing I wanted to do is piss off a bunch of customers, and then I got all this debt and no way to pay it because I don't have any clients right. anymore. So right. I just wanted to learn and observe. And I think that's probably the best thing that I did, and just tried to learn from each and every one of them. And then I just kept notes. Okay. Step one, here's what I think needs to change. And my perspective was, we've got this phenomenal family agency that does really good. How do I take this thing and put it on steroids and just blow it up? How do I maintain the culture and maintain the family community environment, but put this thing on steroids and just blow it up? And so the first thing I did was just observe for an entire year, and then started making changes. And those changes were just modernizing the agency. So for example, and Mariana will tell you to this day, and Mariana still works here. Mm. She's semi-retired. And I've told her, you will always, as long as I own this place, you will always have an office in this agency, and you're welcome anytime you want. And that's been really, really helpful to have that mentor-mentee relationship with her. She doesn't have any ownership anymore. She doesn't manage anybody. She just kind of takes care of people that call in. But that relationship with her has been absolutely critical for me and really, really helpful, both as a leader and as a business owner. So what I'm about to say, I say in all respect, because they built phenomenal processes and we just needed to modernize them. Mm-hmm. So for example, when I bought the agency and somebody would call in, they had a folder, somebody would do the intake form, you know, it was a piece of paper printed out with a name, address, mm-hmm. property address, so on and so forth.
Sure, yeah.
That would be put in a folder, and every person in the office had a different color folder, so they knew whose folder it was. The intake person would walk it over to the quoter, then the quoter would quote it, then they'd walk it back over to the producer, then the producer would look at it, pick up the phone, make the call, try to make a sale, then walk it over to customer service for customer service to issue it, then somebody else would walk it over for billing. And so there was this antiquated, if I can, way of approaching the business. There was no marketing going on outside of the relationships that they had built in the community, and they got a lot of referrals. And so what I wanted to do is just modernize this. So what my vision was is to build something that people want to come to. People meaning producers and customer mm-hmm. service reps. I wanted them to say, hey, you've built something here I want to be a part of, and it's going to make my job easier to make a lot of money. And so that's kind of the structure that I was going after, is to build something that would attract producers and customer service reps too. And so that's what we did, Lindsay, is went down about a 2-year process of just modernizing it. Really learning how they used AMS 360. Nobody really operated very well within that, except knowing how to get to customers' information. So we really engaged heavily with Vertafore to really understand that process. We implemented a CRM, and actually went through 2 or 3 iterations of it. As we grew, I realized how limiting some of these CRMs are. Mm. And I made decisions based on price a lot, as opposed to the value and what that CRM could do for us. So we implemented a CRM system, and then we took on job duties that I wanted specialization. I don't want everybody doing everything anymore, because from a leadership standpoint, specialization, what it does for me is it removes and eliminates excuses. Mm-hmm. So if your job is only quoting, I can hold you accountable to very specific key performance indicators. But if your job is quoting and selling and binding and issuing, and we drop the ball somewhere, I don't know who to hold accountable, and I don't know who to train and coach. So we implemented specialization where we're now at a point where my $20 or $30 an hour employees do $20 or $30 an hour jobs.
That's super key.
My $10 an hour employees,
Ryan, that
do
is,
$10 an hour jobs.
Yeah, Ryan, that is so key that I think so many agencies, I think here's the thing. If you don't do that, you're competing against agents that do that, and therefore have the ability to be far more efficient and make investments in things like CRMs. Like the thing, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't make that kind of move in your agency, it's impossible to keep up with those that are. And, you know, it's, and the other thing you said was you weren't really scratching the surface of the agency management system that you were utilizing. I think the stat is the average agent is right around utilization of 30 to 40% of what their current agency management system's capabilities are. And that's, you know, that's not okay. But it's so incredibly important to think about what's happening inside the agency, what it costs, who the people are that are doing it, what their skill sets are, and are they at their highest and best? Are we really utilizing people the right way? What a huge impact I'm sure you made on an already incredibly successful agency.
Well, it's been fun, and probably, you know, the comment I get the most from other agency owners is, how have I never met you before? And my answer to that is I have literally had my nose to the grindstone for 4 years straight, like 14 hour days, like just ground and pound.
I'm pretty sure I asked you that question, right? Like when I sat next to you on a plane, I'm like, how in the world is this the first time I'm meeting you? And, you know, you gave me the same answer. But here's the thing, Ryan, there's a lot of you out there. There's a lot of agents that are not going to conferences. They're not, you know, they're not hosting podcasts, which you're now doing, but they're putting the work in. They're figuring out how to move from A to B. And which is why doing podcasts like this and the Insurance Leaders podcast are so important. They can consume some content, but not have to travel, be out of the office, have multiple days. Like it's incredibly difficult to do what you're doing. So,
it's hard.
Hats off to you, my friend. Yeah.
Well, thanks. And so the full realm of that is I recently just hired another producer, and she was an agent for a captive carrier and very successful. I knew her from the community, and I just went to her. We had coffee one day, and I sat her down and said, tell me what you hate about your job. And she said, oh my gosh, you know, customer service. She is a salesperson. She is an orange salesperson. She said, I hate customer service. Quoting takes so much time, and chasing people for payments and for signatures on applications. And she just mentioned every pain point that I tried to solve in building this infrastructure. Long story short, when I made my pitch to her that At Grimes Insurance, you're going to grow your agency faster because you don't quote your own business. You don't do the customer service. You don't do the remarketing. You don't quote it. All you do is have the initial conversation and the sales conversation, and our back office team does everything else. And she was like, where do I sign?
Yeah, you're the answer to all my prayers here is probably what she was saying, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly right. So we're really proud of what we've built. It's taken a lot of work, but we're really happy with it and continuing to evolve every day and refine everything that we built 3 years ago. I feel like some of those things are already outdated.
It is hard to keep up. So I do have a question though. Like, you did this in a staff that was used to walking paper to each other. They were used to, the way they had always done things. What was the impact to your current staff as you implemented these changes? Did they evolve with you? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah, they evolved with me. And I think, you know, we can't underestimate the need for leadership in an agency, especially when you're going to make massive changes to the way people operate and make their money. So there has to, I believe that leadership is really just trust, mm-hmm. right? That's, mm-hmm. it's a bridge of building trust. And so that year I put a lot of equity in those bank accounts, if you will. And so when it came time to make some pretty significant changes, like implementing a CRM system for my producers and salespeople, they trusted me. I don't think they believed me, but they trusted me that I wasn't going to lead them astray. And it was, to be candid with you, it was not an easy process. There was a lot of, so I have this philosophy, fail fast and fail forward. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be perfect. We are going to fail miserably. There's going to be a lot of pain along the way. But I promise you, my end result, my motivation is to make you better and to make our processes and improve the overall customer experience. And so I think there was a lot of pain along the way, Kerry, but the trust and the relationship was there with my team. And as we continued, the beauty of this is, so we started with, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think 15 employees is what we had when I bought the agency. We're now at, I think, 33 or 34. So part of the beauty of that is as we brought on more team members, they didn't know any different.
Right.
This is the only way they've learned. And so there was, it's been a difficult process, but thankfully the team's trusted me along the way, and I'm here every day, and I have an open door policy, and I would have customer service team members. I would have other people come into the office to say, I'm really frustrated. Okay, let's talk about it. What are you frustrated about? Well, this, and this. Okay, first off, I'm sorry. That's not the intention. Let's see if we can fix this together. And so a lot of open and honest communication has gone on, and a lot of input. I wanted input and more input about, you know, how do we do this and how do we make your lives easier, but also improve the customer experience?
You know, I have
so it's just a lot of communication.
Yeah, I have to believe that the fact that you observed for a year, took notes, thought about it, built that trust, and then communicated well had to resonate with them. Like, it just has to. Someone who comes in and starts doing things from the beginning without actually getting their bearings and, you know, demonstrating that you respect where they are and how they got there and are able to take really measured moves in order to move it towards the future. I think that's the key. You know, we had the pleasure of, interviewing Matt Simon on the podcast earlier, and he talked a lot about building this reservoir of trust over time by doing the job, mm-hmm. by being present, by asking their opinions. And, I think we can't stress that enough, how important it is to build that trust before you start. People lead and people follow people they know, like, and trust. And if they don't know you yet and they don't trust you yet, they're not going to follow you, right?
Yep. That's true. And I think that's just really, really important and really critical. I think in today's time and today's society, everything is fast paced, fast, go, 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 go. And I almost want to push against that and say, okay, if that's working today, I'm going to go with what I know it works, which is slow and very methodical, because this, we've got to get this right.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so I think sometimes going slow allows you to go faster. And so by going slow, in 4 years' time, we've been able to double the agency in almost in revenue and in premium and employees and double the impact in our community and double the amount of nonprofits we're able to support and double the amount of schools we're able to support because we've gone slow. Mm-hmm. But by going slow for a short period of time, it's allowed us to go really fast, yeah. And we'll continue to. So,
if you could look back and give yourself one piece of advice when you first started and you first bought Grimes Insurance, what would it be?
I think it would be just to listen. So many times in my life, and I think so many things people want to do, they want to talk and they want to be heard and they want their input injected in the conversation. The wisest people in the room generally are the ones doing more listening than talking. So the advice I'd give myself is to listen more, as opposed to trying to insert my opinion or influence into the conversation. Just listen more.
Yeah. I love that. Thank you so much. If people are interested in finding you, where can they find you to ask questions or find more information about what you have talked about today?
Yeah, so I'm on every social media platform, Facebook, Ryan Reynolds. You might have a hard time finding me there because you'll come across the more attractive, younger, actually older, more attractive, older Ryan Reynolds. But Ryan Reynolds on Facebook, Ryan Reynolds 79 on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn. They can email me rreynolds@grimesinsurance.com too.
And we would be remiss to tell you or to not actually mention, if you want to hear more of Ryan Reynolds and Daniel Sung, check them out at the Insurance Leadership Podcast as well. I am a loyal listener. I know Lindsay is a loyal listener. I just love that you are not I'm sure your nose is still to the grindstone, but I'm so glad that you're out there sharing your story and getting other stories like yours out there, because I think it's so incredible to expand and allow people to learn from your experience. So I really appreciate that you came on our podcast to share your story. And I can guarantee you, we have 1,000 more things we could have talked about. So I'm pretty confident this will not be the last time we chat.
Well, I look forward to the next time, and congratulations, Lindsay and Carrie, on all your success, and your podcast is fantastic, and thanks for allowing me the opportunity to be on and share some time with you guys.
You got it.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Insurance Refocus podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to hit subscribe and leave us a review so you'll never miss us. Want to learn more about how Agency Focus can help you grow your agency? Head to agency-focus.com or email Carrie directly at carrie@agency-focus.com. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to shoot me an email at lindsay@agency-focus.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.